Sunday night open line with Dominic Steele. 2CH 1170.
2CH 1170, and it's been a massive week for the Anglican Church internationally. The leaders of the church, the 38 individuals representing the 38 member provinces of the International Anglican Church, they call them primates, have been meeting in Canterbury under the leadership of the Archbishop of Canterbury. And in the lead-up to this meeting this week, there was quite a bit of speculation that the denomination could well split down the middle. The central issue has been the decision over the last few years of the American and Canadian branches of the denomination, the Episcopal Church in the United States and the Anglican Church in Canada, and they have both moved to support same-sex marriage, although the American Church has gone further than the Canadians. So essentially, there are those member provinces of the Church where the particular countries want to be faithful to the Bible, following the teaching of the Old and New Testament, and on the other hand, there are the American and Canadian provinces which really have ignored the Bible's teaching. The group within the International Anglican Church that is most concerned to uphold the Bible is known as GAFCON, short for Global Anglican Futures. It is predominantly made up of the African and the southern provinces. But our former Archbishop, the former Archbishop of Sydney, Peter Jensen, he is the General Secretary of GAFCON and has been in Canterbury, not attending that meeting, but meeting with the various GAFCON representatives during the week. And he's on the line from London. And I should just, as a matter of disclosure, mention that he's an old mentor and friend of mine. Good evening, Peter.
Good evening, Dominic. Hello to all your listeners.
Yeah, look, I want to talk to you about the decision of the meeting of the primates and then your reaction. But first, could we just start off with what were the underlying issues at stake going into the meeting?
Well, of course, the presenting issue is about sexuality and the ethics of the Bible. But the underlying issue is the question of authority, the authority of the Bible, and the capacity of the Bible to continue to speak into the secular world. So I'm afraid, in my opinion, the Episcopal Church in America and the Canadian Church have compromised with the secular world. They've gone too far, and they've lost their capacity, in my opinion, to speak powerfully on behalf of the gospel of Jesus into the secular world.
How far would you go? Would you still call them Christian?
Oh, without doubt, as with many denominations, there are Christian people within both the Episcopal and the Canadian Church, and the same would be true of us. But have they taken a step formally speaking, which it puts them outside? That's a good question. I don't think I'd say quite that. What I would say is that this decision they've taken to bless same-sex unions and so forth has endangered the souls of millions of people, because what the Bible teaches us is that this is a decision or a lifestyle which is under God's wrath, it's under God's condemnation, it's not a lifestyle which he approves of, and it puts you outside the kingdom of God. And so I don't mean being same-sex attracted, I don't even mean falling, as we all do, into sin of one sort or another. But I mean, embracing and practicing that lifestyle puts you outside the kingdom of God, according to the New Testament.
Mm.
Now, that's not a very popular thing to say, no doubt there'll be people listening or even angry at what I've just said. But that's what the teaching of the Bible is, and that's what it's always been. Now, what I'd say to you is that the churches that we're talking about have therefore, by blessing what God has said is not blessed, are really endangering the spiritual future of millions of people.
Mm. So you've got really two very different views going into the meeting at the beginning of the week. Can you describe the atmosphere of the meeting? Because from the reports we've had over here, it was pretty tense.
Yes, I wasn't there, though I've spoken to people who were there. 20 of the primates going to the meeting had never been to one of these meetings before. In fact, they'd stopped having them because the difficulty was so tense before. And certainly, so they're a new group. It's not as though it's a group that works together all the time or something like this. I think various techniques were used to facilitate the meetings, some of which worked and some of which didn't.
I mean, I understand the primate of Uganda walked out of the meeting and didn't come back. Is that your understanding?
Well, that's true. He left the meeting after the second day. There was a particular reason for this, and that is his own House of Bishops, his own people back in Uganda had said that he wasn't really to mix with, that really he ought to withdraw his fellowship from the American church, the North American churches, these churches I'm talking about. And therefore, for him to be at the meeting at all was a concession on his part, a very generous and gracious concession. But by the second day, he'd come to the view that he was in the wrong place in the light of what his own House of Bishops had said.
Mm-hmm.
And so without any great fanfare, he withdrew from the meeting. Others could have, but they didn't. And the reason for that is that the other GAFCON primates, for example, felt that their view was being heard. They had difficulty in making it heard, but they did think that their view was being heard, and being heard by many of the primates there for the first time. And if they had left the meeting, say, with the Archbishop of Uganda, then that view may not have been put as powerfully and as successfully, in their view, as it was.
Talk to us about the final decision of the meeting. It was a decision, they're not calling it discipline, they're calling it consequences for the American church.
Yes, from a GAFCON point of view, this is this group that I'm allied with, and it consists of seven or eight of these primates. From a GAFCON point of view, the communique that came out, it was inadequate, because really what we are saying is that it's impossible to have fellowship with the Episcopal Church and the Church of Canada while they hold these views, and our view is that they ought to come back and put themselves under the Bible again. And we find it, so therefore, even taking communion with them is difficult or impossible. So that's the view of the GAFCON primate.
Mm-hmm.
By the time the meeting finished, something like 27 or 28 of the primates present voted not in that full-scale way, but they did vote to censure, I think that's the right word, to censure the Episcopal Church and to, in a sense, send out a message to it that its behaviours were not approved.
Mm.
It was a relatively mild censure, but the fact that it was so widespread is the key issue here. So many sent that message. That was significant.
So that the majority of the leaders of the denomination internationally essentially said to the American church, you're out of step with God.
Well, not just the majority. I think it was a fairly overwhelming majority.
Yeah, that's right, three-quarters or something.
Something like 27 out of 36, something like that.
Mm. The Episcopal Church, in a sense, seems to be playing it as a defeat. I was just listening to the presiding bishop, but he seemed to be saying that it was their vocation now to help the Anglican Communion to come to a new understanding on sexuality. I didn't detect a hint of repentance or remorse in his comments.
No, not at all, and this will, in my judgment, it will have no bearing on the reality of the facts on the ground in North America. As you are aware, I'm sure, well over 100,000 North American Christians broke away from the Canadian Church and the Episcopalian Church in 2009 and set up a new church called the Anglican Church of North America, which is really a church based on the fundamentals of the Bible.
Mm.
The church that Jim Packer belongs to, for example, and David Short, who's an Anglican clergyman from Sydney living in Vancouver, it's their church. Now, that church was actually represented at this meeting for the very first time. So
which is really quite unprecedented to have two,
yes,
if you like, parallel churches from the same geographic region.
Well, one of the things that the Archbishop of Canterbury apparently said, he didn't say it publicly, but I've heard that he said, was that this is not such a startling thing, for after all, in Europe, there are two jurisdictions. There's an American jurisdiction and a English jurisdiction in Europe, and the same is true in South Africa, actually. So this idea that there can only be one is probably part of a very profound Anglican mythology. So the American Folly Beach, the ACNA man was there in Canterbury with them, which was extraordinary, and he stayed virtually throughout the meeting. signalling the distinction that exists on the North American continent.
If I just ask you now about the Archbishop of Canterbury, and I mean, you mentioned him, what have you made of the way he's played it? It seems to me from a distance that he's really tried to be everyone's friend.
Well, I think that the Archbishop of Canterbury, of course, is in a very, very difficult position. I think an impossible task. He has tried to bring everyone together and to overcome the divisions. I don't think he's been able to do that, but that mustn't surprise us because the divisions are so profound. He ends the week, at least only the Archbishop of Uganda withdrew. Some of the other African bishops also quietly withdrew towards the end of the week, but they made no fuss of this. So he's ended the week with the communion. I wouldn't say intact. It wasn't intact when we began, and it's not intact now, but with a small beginning, at least, towards some sort of resolution, I think. But the resolution may be that there is no Anglican communion, that it is permanently... The American, if I may say, the American actions back in the beginning of the 21st century have, I think, irreparably torn the fabric of the communion. And if they won't change, and I don't think they will, well, we can't expect things to go back to what they were.
What role did the Primate of Australia play in the meeting?
I'm sure it was a good one, but I have no,
you haven't heard
of anything. Yeah. I had no contact with him.
Right. So where to now? You said, in a sense, it's been split already, the Anglican Church. What's the role in GAFCON going forward and the future of the denomination as you see it?
Yeah, some people say that GAFCON is a new communion or a parallel organisation outside, but that's not how the GAFCON primates see themselves. They see themselves as integral to the Anglican communion. They see themselves as not a divisive but a unifying force as they try to gather up the fragments of people who are Orthodox but who have been disaffiliated from their own churches. They see themselves as standing for the truth of the Bible. And so we have a GAFCON branch in Australia, which will, again, promote biblical Christianity as far as it can. So the GAFCON role continues and is immensely important. And those who support GAFCON, and all our listeners can become supporters if they wish, those who support GAFCON are involved in a work to renew the Anglican Communion around the Bible and the teaching of the Bible and by the power of the gospel. It's a great work. It's worth doing. It puts us in touch with Christians all around the world, and it's rather exciting.
And you might expect, actually, a number of other nations to join you in that flowing out of this meeting. Would that be...
Yes, I would not be surprised. I can't say for sure, but I would not be surprised if several other primates now decided to throw in their lot with GAFCON, having seen what the GAFCON primates stand for, having heard what they believe, and recognising that they believe the same thing.
Peter Jensen, thanks very much for talking to us tonight.
Dominic, it's a great pleasure, and thank you, and good night to all your listeners.
That's the former Archbishop of Sydney, Peter Jensen. Of course, he's also the General Secretary of the GAFCON movement. Well, what did you make of that? Perhaps you've got a view. You might like to share that with us, 1300 13 1170. And in a few moments, actually, we'll chase down commentator David Old and see what his take is on all of those events in Canterbury this week. 2CH.